In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. Al Messia come. Christo ha resuscitado. Today, on the third Sunday of the Paschal season, the Church honors, commemorates, venerates certain disciples who were involved in the events of the Passion, the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Some of these that we're commemorating today were public followers, and others that we're commemorating today were secret followers. Which one are you? The Church commemorates the myrrh-bearing women and Saints Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. One group, the women, were second-class citizens in these biblical lands, while the other group, Joseph and Nicodemus, were, we could say, part of the nobles of society. They're part of the hierarchy. They were revered men and men of means. Both, however, both groups did display a willingness to sacrifice their reputations and their livelihoods in order to serve the Lord. Both groups demonstrated what I would call holy boldness, a characteristic we see among various Old Testament figures, particularly prophets. We see among the New Testament persons, especially after the descent of the Holy Spirit. Both these second-class citizens, the women, and these men of means and part of the hierarchical society in Palestine demonstrated holy boldness. Do you have holy boldness? Who were these women? What were their names? The various evangelists named them: Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James, Salome the mother of the apostles James and John, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, the man who was on his way to Emmaus with Luke, and this other woman, Susanna. And these women, out of their own need, supported the Lord in his 3 years of public ministry. They were with him, and they provided for him. And here they are at the very end of when he's being taken down from the cross. They're there with him again, and they are ready to go and anoint his body as it's being prepared for burial. That's discipleship. They're there from the beginning to the end, and they were public. Who was Joseph of Arimathea? The scriptures tell us he was a man of wealth, a man of means, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin. St. Mark goes so far to describe him as an honorable man because he sought the kingdom of God. And while he was a secret disciple of Jesus of Nazareth, after our Lord had expired on the cross, the Lord gave up his spirit. It was time to take the bodies down. We find St. Joseph of Arimathea approaching Pontius Pilate, and he boldly asked to have the body. And Pilate gives permission. So Joseph of Arimathea, along with the women, are helping to bring the Lord's body off the cross. And they wrap together the Lord's body in a linen. And Joseph of Arimathea gives to our Lord his own new tomb. Who is Nicodemus? We learn from the evangelist that he was a Pharisee, and he was also a member of the Sanhedrin. This is the one who in secret came to visit our Lord at night. And the Lord called him a master of Israel. Nicodemus, he was there on that night of the trial of Christ. And Nicodemus was there when our Lord expired on the cross. And he too was a part of the burial group. Nicodemus brought 100 pounds, 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to anoint the body of Christ. That's a very large, expensive amount. He didn't count the cost. He was there too, helping to bring the Lord off the cross, wrap up the body in the linen, and he too helped Joseph and these women put the Lord in the new tomb that was owned by Joseph. What was similar among all these groups, the women and the men, whether it's public or private or secret, they were all motivated, they were all impelled by selfless love. And we do see in today's gospel, and as we reflect on these different persons today on this third Sunday of Pascha, a tension, a contrast of fear and faith. Fear and faith. The myrrh-bearing women, along with John the Apostle, stood at the cross on Holy Friday when everybody else abandoning him, including the apostles. The apostles who saw the miracles of our Lord, who preached, who heard him preach, who basically walked and was with him 24 hours a day for 3 years. Peter stands and says, "If I will stand with you all the way," and they're all gone, except these women and a boy. And where were all the crowds that were walking with him from Galilee to Judah? They too saw the miracles. They were fed with loaves, and they're nowhere. But these women and John are there. And where were all the people who saw Lazarus raised from the dead? And all the others who came to see the miracle? And they walked with our Lord from Bethesda down into Jerusalem, carrying palm branches and singing Hosanna and giving their garments up. Where were they on Holy Friday? Nowhere. Nowhere on Holy Friday. But the ointment-bearing women, they were there with that boy, John the Apostle. These women and John denied themselves. And they served our Lord. And they did more than serve our Lord. They stood by him. They risked their reputations. They risked the news of scandal. They risked their personal lives to stand with our Lord, the criminal, on the cross. And then more than that, they took this criminal down, the one that was rejected by their elders, the one rejected by the Roman emperor, the one called a criminal, an insurrectionist. They were there and they brought him down and they put him in a tomb. And so if you did any of Orthos today, the one common word coming up throughout today's Orthos for today's Sunday is compassion, great mercy. These women were ones of great compassio, which means to suffer with, to endure with. In other words, they were great lovers. They were great lovers. And then there's Joseph and Nicodemus. They were wealthy leaders. They were men of means and great prestige. And yet they still were afraid of their compatriots. They were afraid of Caiaphas. They were afraid of Annas. They were afraid of Simon the leper, all these other ones who made up their body. But they still followed the Lord, although it was secretly. They weren't as brave as the women and John, but they were still there when our Lord needed them. And then the church takes these people and contrasts them with everybody else. The apostles, completely the closest friends of our Lord, who completely abandoned him. And not only abandoned him, they betrayed him and they denied him. The ones that the Lord said, "You are my friends." He washed their feet. And they left him. And to all three groups, Jesus the Christ, however, to all these groups, the women, these men, Joseph and Nicodemus, and the apostles, the Lord still, at the end of the day, revealed himself as the risen one to all of them. To those who stood by him all the way, through his passion, through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, these blessed women, and they were blessed because they were given the greatest gift in all of human history. They were the ones that were allowed and given permission to hear the greatest news in all mankind and all of human history. They were the first to hear, "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Because of their perseverance and their patient endurance, and they were with him all the way. They were the first to receive the greatest news. They were the first blessed ones. For their self-dedication, for their love, for their perseverance, for their patient endurance, for their anguish and for their toil, God blessed them. As we see, God always does with those who are faithful to him. They were the first not only to receive the greatest news of human history, they were the privileged first apostles. They were the first apostles. They were first to go out and proclaim the news of the resurrection to even the men who were supposed to be the first apostles. Peter and Simon and Thomas and Nathaniel, cowering in a room. We may have that same similar selfless love and dedication. May you and I have a similar perseverance. May you and I have a single-minded devotedness to the kingdom of God. Nonetheless, we are weak. We do get distracted. We do grow idle and get bored with prayer and liturgy and the things of God and the Bible. And those things of the church. We fail to pray daily, or maybe we don't pray with all of our heart and orthros or vespers or doing compline. Maybe we pick up a bunch of garbage reading instead of taking a few minutes to read the Word of God or read something that will truly feed the soul. Maybe you fail to attend Sunday liturgy faithfully every Sunday, or not even try to make an effort to attend parish nights to pray vespers, at least. And yes, we sometimes do give our attention and mind and strength and energy more to the worldly things of life, making money and friends and recreation and entertainments and seeking a more comfortable and secure life on earth, rather than occupying ourselves first and foremost with the things of heaven and the life of selfless love. And we all fall in the same temptation to tend to give our time to the ungodly and worldly things of life, wasting our time on the phone, browsing and listening to music that really doesn't build up the soul and cultivate virtue, or even reading good and wholesome books. including the lives of saints in the Bible, really pursuing the higher things of life. We don't always do that, and maybe more times than not, we're giving our soul and mind to garbage or earthly things, and so we end up thinking very earthly, or worse. In the words of a holy mother, Makrina, 20th century, a blessed woman, Russian Orthodox, but had incredible, profound wisdom and was an incredibly holy woman. Holy Mother Makrina, I believe, passed into eternity around 1995. She used to give teachings to her own sisters and to her those who would come to her for advice and counsel. And she said, "Let us struggle in our selfless love of God," saying, quote, "My Christ, have mercy on me, strengthen me, grant me zeal, grant me selfless love, grant me desire to want to worship you. My Christ, have mercy on me, and grant me a little divine eros, a little fervor, a little selflessness for you." End of quote. Sometimes these pernicious darts that attack our hearts and our minds come. Quote, "Oh, if only I could see Christ, then I would be more diligent with my prayers. Oh, if I could only see Christ, I would be more charitable than I really am. If I could only see Christ or hear him speak to me, I would be more emboldened in the struggle of asceticism and really living out my baptismal promises." We all hear those temptations, and that's what they are, temptations. Because Jesus the Christ already anticipated that question, or questions, those questions. He said, "When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, when imprisoned, you visited me." Or shall he expand to say, "When I was discouraged, you were there for me. When I was despondent, you heard me. When I was ignorant, you instructed me. When I was far from the church, you helped me come home." It is said of the holy man Ambrose of Optina, another 20th century holy, holy man, that in his life, when he had sufficiently struggled against his carnal desires, the desires of the flesh, worldly desires, he really found himself finally free to give himself entirely in love to his neighbor. And he would exhaust himself in his selfless giving to others. He never tired in all that time saying these words: "Do you want Christ? Then go to the holy mysteries, the sacraments, and there you will find him. Take seriously Christ's words, 'This is my body, this is my blood.'" Or we could take to heart the words that we heard on Paschal night, Ode 5, quote, "Let us rise at break of dawn. Let us bring hymns of praise to the master of ointments, and we shall see Christ, the Son of Righteousness, causing life to dawn for all." You want to see Christ? Come early on Sunday mornings, and you will see him. Christ is risen.